In this bulletin, two explosions in Afghanistan kill and injure dozens at Kabul airport. Australia's leaders prepare to meet the National Cabinet today, and in sport, a challenging draw for Australia's Ash Barty as she seeks to lift the US Open as the top seed. With the latest SBS News, I'm Marcus Megaloconomos. At least 13 people have been killed and 15 wounded after two suicide bombers targeted crowds massing near Kabul airport in Afghanistan. Members of the US military were among the wounded. It happened during the waning days of a massive airlift that has drawn thousands of people seeking to flee the Taliban takeover. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the United Kingdom's military evacuation effort will continue despite the deadly attack.
We'll work flat out. The military, the Foreign Office teams, the Home Office, the Border Force teams are there, getting people through as fast as they can still. And we're going to keep going up until the last moment. But I want to repeat what I've been saying over the last few days, that we also fully expect that those who want to leave Afghanistan after this phase one, if you like, are allowed to do that by the Taliban.
A US official says the attack is believed to have been carried out by IS. The Taliban condemned the attack, saying it happened in an area controlled by US forces. The spokesman for the United Nations says the Secretary General also condemns the attack in Afghanistan. Stefan Dujarric says Antonio Guterres and partners are following the situation closely.
He condemns this terrorist attack, which killed and injured a number of civilians, and extends his deep condolences to the families of those killed. He stands in solidarity and wishes a speedy recovery to those injured. This incident underscores the volatility of the situation on the ground in Afghanistan, but also strengthens our resolve as we continue to deliver urgent assistance across the country in support of the Afghan people.
Australia's leaders will address sticking points with a national reopening plan today at a national cabinet meeting after a week of federal-state tensions over vaccine coverage and surging infections. Premiers will join Prime Minister Scott Morrison and chief ministers, with divisions emerging over the path out of the pandemic. More relief is on the horizon for New South Wales businesses, along with a much-anticipated plan to return students to classrooms. New South Wales yesterday crossed the 1,000 case mark for daily COVID-19 infections, on the same day the government announced its progressive freedom plan for the fully vaccinated. Premier Gladys Berejiklian calls on businesses and vaccinated residents to start thinking about life after lockdown.
Wales is calling on industry and citizens to get ready for when we are 70% double vaccinated. That's when things will start to open. The New South Wales government will start conversations with industry, but we do say that the condition of you participating in what will be reopening is on you being vaccinated.
Healthcare workers in New South Wales will be required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Health Minister Brad Hazzard says under the new public health order, health staff must have a first dose of vaccine by the 30th of September and be fully vaccinated by the 30th of November, or at least have their second appointment booked to continue working.
The medical staff in our hospitals will be required to get vaccinated and of course also sign the orders that the federal government have asked to be signed in regard to aged care. So again, it will be mandatory for staff, except with medical conditions and related matters.
Emergency relief has arrived in the COVID-battered Victorian town of Shepparton as it struggles with almost a third of its population in isolation. The total number of cases there is 67, although at least another five or six had emerged by Thursday afternoon. Chief Health Officer Professor Brett Sutton says there's still significant transmission occurring in the state.
We're seeing, in particular, transmission within households and potentially in social networks. So we are challenged by those mystery cases that are emerging every day. Those undetected chains of transmission are our primary challenge.
A community group in the United States is calling on the operators of the Hudson Yards Development public sculpture to install barriers or close its walkways to the public permanently. The art installation remains closed weeks after a 14-year-old boy killed himself while visiting the structure with his family by jumping from the eighth level. It is the fourth suicide at the sculpture since it opened 2.5 years ago. Lowell Kern, chair of the Manhattan Community Board, which represents residents of the area, calls on the real estate developers and local leaders to raise the height of the waist-high railings on the sides of the stairs and platforms as a means of suicide prevention.
People jumped off the George Washington Bridge all the time until they did something about it. There are tons of other bridges that surround Manhattan Island that people were not using to jump into the Hudson or the East River. The George Washington Bridge became iconic for doing that. Unfortunately, the vessel has now become iconic as a place for people to take their own lives.
To sport, Australian Ash Barty has been given a challenging draw as she seeks to lift the US Open as the top seed. Barty's first round opponent is former finalist Vera Zvonareva. Australia's world number one will begin the US Open campaign as favourite. She aims to lift her third Grand Slam title. And now for a look at today's weather. Cloudy in Perth and Melbourne. Mostly sunny in Adelaide with a top of 18. A shower or two in Canberra and Wollongong. Similar conditions in Sydney. Sunshine in Brisbane and Darwin with a top of 35. A shower or two in Cairns. With the latest SBS News, I'm Marcus Megalokonomos.